Amen. All right. Here's the plan I use when I go soul winning. We've learned a lot about things, so let's see. The first part is everyone's a sinner. And I use Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Listen, everyone's a sinner. I'm a sinner. You've heard me say this already. Everybody goes to the church is a sinner. The preacher, he's a little sinner because he's not real tall. He's just a little fella. But we're all sinners. Amen. And so then I go to my next verse is Romans 5:12. And I use Romans 5:12 and Romans 6:23 together. Because we are all sinners, and one day we're all going to die. And the place we're going to go is hell. But there's two kinds of death. A physical death for our bodies, and a second death, a spiritual death for our soul. So let me read those verses to you. So in Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because we're sinners, we're all going to die. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's all I use. I don't use the whole verse. That's all I use on that verse. I don't want to go to the gift of God as eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm not there yet. Amen? So I don't want to get them confused. I'm taking them down what I feel is a logical path of Scripture. I'm presenting an argument to them, if you will, like an attorney might in a courtroom. Or I'm telling them a story. And you don't tell the end of the story at the beginning of the story. Well, some folks do, but I don't. Some folks will say, and this is how we got here, boom, and then they tell you the story. But I don't necessarily want to tell them about the gift that God did. I don't want to get them confused. And if you told me too much information, sometimes out of order, I get confused. Now, I'm just a simple-minded person. So I figure if somebody's as simple-minded as I am, I don't want them to get confused like I would get confused. So I don't take them through the whole verse. I just take them through the first part of the verse. For the wages of sin is death. Then I go to Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21:8. And I read the whole verse to them, Revelation 21:8. And in Revelation 21:8, the Bible says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderer and the whoremonger and the sorcerer and idolater and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I just told them that we're going to die. So I'm going to show them the second death. That second death is in hell. I take that verse and I work that verse backwards. And we'll go into that later on. But I use that verse backwards. I start with the fact that there is a second death. And that second death is in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. We commonly call that hell. And then I say stuff like this. But I'm sure you're not a murderer or a whoremonger or nothing like that, right? And I'll say, no, I'm not. And I go, oh, good. I always get nervous around a murderer. Well, don't you? And I say, but it does say all liars. As much as I hate to admit this, I've told me a bucket full of lies in my lifetime. I'm sure that in your lifetime, like me, you've probably told some lies too. And I have never personally met anybody who's never told a lie. Amen. Someone somewhere along the line has told some kind of lie, whether it be a little white lie or a big, big tale. We've all told some kind of lie. Sometimes our wife will come to us and say, how do I look? And she doesn't look all that nice, but you know if you tell her that, you're in trouble. So you say, oh, you look just wonderful, honey. Liar, liar, pants on fire. But you don't want to go through that fight. Sometimes your husband will come in and say, what do you think? You think this is okay? And you're sitting there, ladies, and you're going, oh, my goodness, where did he get his coordination from? But you don't want to go through that argument again. So you say, you look just fine, honey. And life goes on. That's a lie. Amen. Both of those are lies. Now, they may be well-intended lies, but if you're not telling the truth, it's a lie. So all of us are qualified for that. So then we all qualify for that second death because all of us have lied. That's a logical procedure in my mind to help someone get to the place to understand they are a sinner. Because here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to show them that they're a sinner. Because they're a sinner, they have to go to hell. That is a have to. That's not a could be, and that isn't a might be. That's a have to. They don't get a choice. So I'm trying to get them there. So then I go from there, and I go to my next one. I go to Romans, back to chapter 5, Romans 5, and I read two verses here, verses 8 and verse 9. Romans 5, 8 and 9. And I don't know a lot of people that use these two verses together, but I do because it helps me think logically. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. And it says, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And I stop and I say, that's what we just found out. We're sinners, aren't we? And so, because he loves you and me, he died for us. "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Well, we just found out the wrath of God was hell in that second death, didn't we? So this plainly says that I can be saved from that wrath through Jesus Christ, not myself, not through a church, not by a religion, but by Jesus Christ. Now, this is my logical thought of how to tell someone. Now, again, this is not something that I learned. It's something that from an individual. It's something I learned over a period of time of learning through the school of hard knocks, how to get someone to comprehend that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen? And how to present it in such a way that it's not offensive. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Then I go to Romans 10:13, and that's the promise. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever means anybody, doesn't it? So anybody's name can go there. It doesn't say whosoever's good. It doesn't say whosoever will never sin again. It doesn't say whosoever goes to church. It doesn't say whosoever's baptized. It just says whosoever. So anybody then can be saved. And that's God's promise. That's not a church's promise. That's not a religion's promise. I'm not going through that. Then, after I'm done there, and they've prayed and asked Christ as their Savior, I go to Romans 13:5. I'm sorry, Hebrews 13:5. Romans 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. And again, I don't use the whole verse. I just use the last half of the verse. And the last half of the verse, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I want to teach them that Jesus is in their heart forever and will never leave. Now, you help me just for a moment. And think about the day. I'm going to stand up here because I feel really short and I can't see people. And I like looking at folks when I don't. So, all right, anyway. You tell me, when you first got saved, how many remember when they first got saved? I know I do. How much did you know when you first got saved about salvation, heaven, Bible, anything? How many know a lot? How many were like me, just as dumb as a pile of rocks? Amen. There we go. All right, I didn't know anything. So the only thing that the new Christian really knows is everything you just told them from the Bible. They don't know anything more. So if you do not tell them that they're saved forever, they don't know that they're saved forever. If you don't, what you get excited about, they'll get excited about. So if you're excited that they took Jesus Christ as Savior, well, they're just learning this. I have gone soul winning with hundreds of preachers, thousands of church members, through my years of traveling as an evangelist, I think 18 years. We go to a different church every week, and I do what I'm doing now. I teach people about soul winning in the daytime, and we go out and we win souls, and I teach people, and they go with me, and year after year. We had 48 meetings a year. That means we had about 4 weeks off a year. And when you're traveling all the time, you need those 4 weeks once in a while. But in evangelism, no preaching, no eating. Amen? Yeah. That's the way it works. So wherever we could. But I saw everything there was to see. I've heard all sorts of things that you'd never believe. And here's what I saw most of the time. Someone would receive Christ as Savior, and someone like a preacher would say, "So what'd you just do?" And they're like, "I don't know. What did I do something wrong?" I can see that. You can see. You can read people. You can see their wheels turning. They're going, they don't know what they did because you didn't teach them what they did. So I say, "Did you just ask Jesus to come in your heart?" "Yes, I did." "So if you died right now, where would you go? Heaven or hell?" I'm going to give them multiple choice questions. When you were in school, what kind of questions did you like? True and false, multiple choice, or essay? How many loved essay questions? How many liked multiple choice?
How many love true and false? See, with multiple choice and true and false, the answer's there somewhere. Amen? So I want to give them true or false. I want to give them multiple choices so they got the answer somewhere. Because they don't know. They're just learning. And if I don't teach them, they don't know. So sometimes a preacher would, when we went someone to Christ, and he'd ask them a whole bunch of questions, and they didn't know the answers. And we'd walk away and say, I don't think they're saved. And I'd say, well, you never taught them the answers. Well, I don't have to teach them the answers. Holy Spirit, no. Soul winning is of the utmost importance, but the truth is that most of us don't win someone to Christ because we're uncomfortable. Amen. We know the truth. We just don't know how to give it to them in a way that's acceptable. In a way that we feel comfortable. Because if we're not comfortable, they're never going to be comfortable. So let me give you some things now to help you get comfortable. Before I actually go, I told you I'd give you the plan. I gave you the plan. And I'll give it to you word for word how I use this plan. But before I do that, I think it's important. When you speak to somebody about Christ, keep everything positive. Did I give you all this already? Some of it I didn't. People sense negative statements, and it causes them not to listen to the positive message of salvation. For example, don't look at someone and say, so you don't want to go to hell, do you? Amen. Or, you know, you go to that church. They don't teach people about heaven. We don't want to do those kind of things. Those are negative statements, and they create an unbalanced situation. Just because you're baptized doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Keep everything positive. Never be negative. People sense negativities.
If you say something negative, you may say something negative that they think is true, and immediately they shut you down.
That's exactly right. So never, never be negative. Number two, people sense negative statements, so it causes them not to listen. Then, just because you're baptized doesn't mean you're going to heaven. I've taken that because people have said that to me before. When I've been out soul winning, somebody say, well, I'm baptized. And they'll say, well, just because you're baptized doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Well, let's not discourage people. Amen? Let's keep it positive. So, let's see. I told you the story about one time I went to a lady and I noticed she had a statue of Mary next to her front door. And I knocked on that door. She opened that door and I asked her if she'd going to heaven. She said I was a Catholic. And I said, that statue won't take you to heaven. Boom! She shut that door. And I never talked to her again. And that's my fault. That wasn't her fault. I was offensive. I was negative. So be positive. If someone is offended by the gospel, that's fine. But if somebody's offended because of what you're saying and because how you presented it, that's wrong. Amen? So I don't want to be offensive, so I'm always going to be positive. Oh, so you're a Mormon. Now, I might think, oh, you're a moron. But I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
Amen? Oh, yeah. Well, somebody said, well, I go to the Mormon church. I said, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that you go to church. I am glad they go to church. At least they go to church. It may not be a church we're spitting on, but at least they go to church. Now, I'm not going to say everything I think. Amen?
Right.
I would never say everything I think most of the time anyway, because, first of all, I'm not quite on the bubble. I'm a little out of balance to some people. I'm a nut screwed on the right bolt, though, amen? And so I'm never going to say everything I think. And by the way, if you're married, don't ever say everything you think either, because you won't be married long. So be positive, amen? Be positive. Encouraging. Some people have said to me, well, I was right that was a truth. I did tell them that they couldn't get to heaven because they're baptized, and you were right. And it was truth. But how we present truth is often very important. Amen? Today's society is not the same as 100 years ago. Billy Sunday could get up and say, you're going to split hell wide open! And get away with it. And we might be able to get away with that in the pulpit, but you're not going to get away with that on a personal basis here. Not anymore. Not in this society that we're in. Amen? So, it may be true. It may be gospel, but someone who's not saved and is spiritually dead. And they need to know Christ. And that's what we're talking to them for. We're talking to them about knowing Christ. So be as positive as you can. Amen? Be as positive as you can. Here's a saying I have. Anything that would offend you will offend them.
So I pretend in my mind to think about how I would feel if somebody came to my door. How do you feel like when a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door and tries to convince you that everything you believe is wrong? They don't try to convince you that everything you believe, that they believe is right. They want to convince you that everything you believe is wrong. That's a negative. I'm not going to try to convince anybody that they're wrong about something. They don't know Christ. They're spiritually dead. They don't know what they believe. They have an opinion. They have a view. But I have an answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. I want to give them the answer. Have you ever had a doctor that's just really blunt? They may be a good doctor, but you don't like talking to them because of the way they talk to you. And sometimes maybe they talk down to you. Anybody had a doctor like that in their lifetime? Wouldn't you just like to reach up and just, oh yeah. They're offensive. And you ever sit there and you say to yourself, Doc, are you listening to how you're talking to me? I'm not 2 years old. I'm not 12 years old. Shoot, I'm old. Respect the aged. Amen. Respect your elders, you young whippersnapper, you. Sometimes people treat you like you're a total idiot. Amen. I don't like that.
It's not good.
So don't treat people like that when you're talking to them about the Lord. Because they're not. They just don't know. They're just spiritually dead. They need encouragement. They need the truth. So I have a saying that I apply in my life is that anything that will offend them will or offend you will offend them. So I think about it. I think about what is said and how I say it. Okay, pray constantly. Pray constantly for the power of the Holy Spirit to win souls so you can get in the church. You can see results because God has promised it. Acts 1:8. Now my mind's gone blank. I'll have to read it to you. Acts 1:8. That happens as you get old. Elderly people. As you get older. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. So the Holy Spirit's promised to help you. So I'm going to ask Him for His help. I'm going to request that He help you. And then Acts 4:12 is a beautiful verse. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. And it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But the world doesn't know that. I know that. You know that. You've heard it preached. But they don't know that. So I'm going to be as unoffensive as possible as I try to tell them. The simple plan of salvation is for all denominations, churches, and religions. It's for everybody. So preach Jesus. Don't defend or argue the Bible. Preach Jesus. Because that's what you're there for. I'm not going to argue with somebody. We talked about that last week, and I'll just remind you. If somebody wants to argue with me, I'm not going to argue with them. Amen? So, don't argue. And then this last part here, we'll stop here for tonight, I think. We'll ask questions if you have. Review the plan with them before leading them to Christ to make sure they understand. I want to make sure folks understand. So I go through the whole plan of salvation, then I review everything we've learned. Because I'm not there to preach, to get up there and preach a message in a church, amen? I'm talking to them personally. So I'm going to review. Pardon? Oh, okay. 431? Well, I'll read that to you too. And great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Amen. That applies very well to this situation. So we need to continue to let the Holy Spirit lead us as we go. So review the plan with them before leading them to Christ. Make sure they understand. And it's basically 4 points. For all have sinned. For the price, there's a price for sin, which is death. Jesus paid that price for sin. So if we can trust Christ for heaven. That's the 4 points. Amen? So, I always ask I'll give this to you. We got time. I always ask that question number 3. That's in your notes that you have. The question is number 3. And that's if you could have God's personal promise that no matter what happened the rest of your life, that you would spend eternity in heaven, that you'd go straight to heaven when you died, would you take God's promise?
Amen.
Over many decades I've been sowing, I've found many people of many different, for many different reasons think they'll go to heaven when they die. The biggest reason, more than 70% of the time, is because they have not done anything bad enough to go to hell. That's what people have said to me. I've not done anything bad enough to go to hell, so I think I'd go to heaven. So then when I asked this question, I just told them that they're not on their way to heaven. But I told it in such a positive way, they didn't catch that. So when they say, well, I think, so here it would be. Alright, I'd say, so if you die today, you know for sure you'd go to heaven. And they'd say, yeah, because I've never done anything bad enough to go to hell. So then let me ask you this. If you could have God's personal promise that no matter what happened the rest of your life, you would go straight to heaven when you die, would you take His promise? So I always ask that question. And again, that helps me. The most received reason that people think they'll go to heaven is because they've gone to church all their life. So since they've gone to church all their life, they think they're going to go to heaven. So question number three, if you could have God's personal promise that no matter what, you go straight to heaven when you die, has opened up a multitude of doors for me. Okay? Oops, wrong one. Yep. Has opened up a multitude of doors of life because it's a positive question. It's not a negative question. In other words, I'm not arguing with them about what they think about heaven, but I'm asking them if they could have God's promise. It's a simple question. That's a positive question that has negative overtones to it. The negative overtones is it doesn't matter if you're a Catholic or a Baptist or amen. What matters is do you have that promise? Okay? So we're going to stop there for tonight. Do we have any questions?